Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 14, 2020. U.S. announces new visa restrictions for some individuals in Sudan.
We consider this a positive move, and it indicates that our relationship with the U.S. is evolving and that we are making progress in getting Sudan removed from the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
And authorities in Lek State have collected hundreds of combat weapons from civilians.
Sudan collected 531 guns. These 531 are mainly from Rumbek East.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Trump administration has announced visa restrictions on some individuals in Sudan who are said to be undermining the civilian-led transitional government. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the move will affect former officials from Omar al-Bashir's administration as well as their immediate families. Sudan's embassy in Washington welcomes the move. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
In his statement, Secretary Pompeo said he is implementing visa restrictions under the Immigration and Nationality Act, Section 212A3C, on individuals residing both inside and outside Sudan who are believed to be responsible for or complicit in or to have engaged in undermining the transitional government's efforts to implement the July 17, 2019 political agreement and August 17, 2019 constitutional declaration. Pompeo says, individuals engaging in corruption or the abuse or violation of human rights in Sudan will also be denied U.S. visas. Sudanese Deputy Ambassador to the U.S. Amira Aqarib says she welcomes the decision.
We consider this a positive move, and it indicates that our relationship with the U.S. is evolving and that we are making progress in getting Sudan removed from the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
The U.S. Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, published on Tuesday the Sudan Program and Darfur Sanctions Guidance as of August 11, 2020, which states, U.S. persons are no longer prohibited from engaging in transactions with respect to Sudan or the government of Sudan that were previously prohibited by the Sudanese sanctions regulations. But it also states that the executive order declaring a national emergency on Sudan remains in effect, including subsequent executive orders that cover violence in Sudan's Darfur region. The declaration provides the basis for OFAC sanctions on certain individuals and entities involved with the conflict in Darfur. It says for now, Sudan remains on the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list. Transitional government officials have been trying to get Sudan removed from the list for months. Aqarib says U.S.-based companies including Microsoft and Zoom Video Communications have already started working in Sudan.
The U.S. is now allowing American companies to do business with Sudan, which is an additional step and a follow-up on the U.S. government's decision in 2017 to lift economic sanctions that had prevented U.S.-based banks and other institutions from doing business with Sudan. This further shows that Sudan is now a priority to the U.S.
In 2017, the U.S. lifted comprehensive economic sanctions that were imposed on Sudan in 1997. Pompeo said, imposing visa restrictions on individuals who are undermining the government in Sudan reflects the Department of State's commitment to work with Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and the civilian-led transitional government, civil society, and others in their efforts to deliver freedom, peace, and justice to the Sudanese people. Aqarib says Pompeo's statement is another indication that U.S.-Sudanese relations are moving in the right direction.
This shows that Sudanese-American relations are in the progress of being normalized, and we expect very soon that Sudan will be removed from the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
Sudan's new ambassador to the U.S., Nureddin Sati, arrived in Washington a few weeks ago. This is the first time in more than 20 years that Sudan has been represented at the level of ambassador in the U.S. after more than two decades of bad relations between the two countries under Bashir's rule. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Authorities in Lake State have collected hundreds of combat weapons from civilians in Rumbek East County during an ongoing disarmament exercise. The governor of Lake State is urging local chiefs in the eight counties of the state to encourage civilians to hand over their guns to avoid forceful disarmament. As William Sande Mabor reports for VOA from Rumbek, the search will continue for a known period.
Lagos State Governor Makur Kulang yesterday told hundreds of residents who gathered at Rumbek Freedom Square to witness the voluntary handover of weapons that more than 500 guns were turned in, and most of them came from Rumbek East.
The gun collected 531 guns. These 531 are mainly from Rumbek East. Rumbek East, where you? Rumbek Center, which is the most populated county, has brought only 78, and it is the most populated county. I don't know what is wrong. Is it the lack of message? I don't know what is wrong, but we shall investigate it. Rumbek North, which is not Rumbek North, it is the Fakam who are here, nearby here, they have brought 60 guns.
Governor Kulang called on civilians and chiefs in other counties who have not complied with the President Salva Kiir disarmament order to quickly hand over their weapons before it is too late, but also told the citizen that the disarmament campaign is a long-term process.
You brought your gun today, we expect that somebody will bring his tomorrow. We also expect somebody will bring his next month, next 6 months, next year, next what? All next, we are here. Next school and anything. Until we make sure that gun is eradicated in Lagos State. Gun is eradicated in Lagos State because it is the order of the president that gun must be eradicated in Lagos State. If you came here to Ulu, Ulu is nil. You came to Yerul East is nil. You came to Yerul West is nil. You came to Chaibet is nil. And then the most part of Mepe is nil.
Major Parvazi Raj, the acting UNMISS military observer in Lagos State, who spoke on behalf of the UNMISS field office in Rumbek, said UNMISS is committed in supporting efforts to disarm all civilians and promote reconciliation in order to restore peace in the state.
The UNMISS remain committed to working with the government on all issues, including the disarmament of the civilian and reconciliation initiatives that will ensure peace and development of our own Lake State.
Rumbek Central County Paramount Chief Madol Mathok is appealing to the United Nations to restrict South Sudan from buying guns. He says the proliferation of guns in the country leads to intercommunal violence, which has left hundreds of civilian dead in Lagos State over the past few months. Many Rumbek East residents like Joseph Magar are hailing the state government's peaceful approach to disarmament.
Though other counties are not turned up to disarm their weapons, so we know they are also on the process that they will hand all the arms to the government. For the government, we need that to have that heart of pressuring the other counties and talk to their intellectual promoters and chiefs in order to turn up. And we need to be free from the gun.
Governor Makur Kulang has accused some soldiers of selling firearms to the cattle keepers. He says soldiers who continue to sell weapons to civilians will be arrested. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek, Lagos State.
A senior World Health Organization official is calling for equitable distribution of a future COVID-19 vaccine in Africa, warning that the virus will continue to spread if some countries are left behind. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
WHO Regional Director for Africa, Machidiso Moeti, sees worrying signs that nations in Africa may be among those last in the queue of low-income countries to receive a vaccine against COVID-19. She notes some high-income countries that are financing the production or research of vaccines are reserving supplies for themselves. While it is understandable that governments would want to protect their own people, she tells VOA she hopes they are considering the needs of other countries as well.
We are continuing to analyze how this will work. We are continuing to advocate very strongly for this equity principle to be adhered to and respected by everyone, and that we all work together to make sure that countries, low-income countries, least developed countries, are not disadvantaged when it comes time to having access to a vaccine.
Moeti warns it would be short-sighted of wealthy countries to think only of themselves. In this interconnected world, she says no one is safe until everyone is safe, adding a virus knows no borders. She says COVID-19 will continue circulating around the world until everyone is protected from its deadly sting. She says a vaccine is not a magic bullet, and nations must not wait to take action until a safe, effective vaccine is developed, a process that will take many months. In the meantime, she says it is absolutely essential that countries continue to identify cases, trace contacts, isolate them, and minimize the spread of the virus.
Even more importantly, people's understanding, knowledge, and behaviors to protect themselves, prevent the virus, prevent themselves spreading to others by wearing masks, by physical distancing whenever it is feasible, by the high hygiene measures of hand washing, cleaning surfaces in different places are very, very important.
Moeti notes, even when a vaccine is available and affordable, it will take some time to roll it out. Until then, she says preventive measures must continue. Latest reports put the number of coronavirus cases in Africa at nearly 1.1 million, including more than 23,000 deaths. Moeti says cases are increasing as the virus moves from high-density urban areas to rural areas that have a lower population density and as communities ease up on lockdown restrictions. She says countries must remain vigilant as curbing COVID-19 is a marathon and not a sprint. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, nurses in Zimbabwe are on strike. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the funniest thing to ever happen to you?
I was thinking I can cross a gutter. Unfortunately, I found myself in the gutter and everybody was laughing.
The funniest thing to ever happen to me was when I fell down in the marketplace and people were laughing. It became funny to me because I just slipped.
A lot has happened to me, but what I remember, being with my family, discussing, they get to tell me funny stories that make me happy.
The funniest thing that has ever happened to me is moving from the house, picking a vehicle, realizing I don't have money on me. How embarrassing to realize there's nothing on me, just moving out like that.
Try to like ask somebody for money and I tried to like fix something and it didn't work. Well, I was ashamed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Zimbabwe's health sector remains fragile. Among challenges, shortages of medicine, supplies and personnel protective equipment, and healthcare workers who say their income have eroded dramatically. Nurses have been on strike for about 2 months, but there seems to be no resolution on the way. Hosea Zenvashi reports from Harare.
Public hospital parking lots are not packed the way they were in the past. That's because patients are being turned away. doctors on duty are overwhelmed and unmotivated, while nurses haven't been coming to work for nearly 2 months, as they strike for better working conditions and salaries paid in US dollars. Recently, government administrators removed striking nurses from the payroll. Enoch Dongo is the president of the Zimbabwe Nurses Association.
Yes, it's true. They were removed in July. They didn't receive their July salary, and we are not sure whether they are going to also receive their August salary. That's the stance that the government decided to take to remove all those nurses that are on strike.
The nurses struck off the payroll also did not receive the 50% salary increment and the $75 COVID allowance that was given to civil servants. Zimbabwe's economy has been in a long decline, with shortages of goods such as medical supplies, fuel, and food. The national currency has collapsed in value, and inflation is running at more than 700% a year. For more than a year, nurses and other medical workers have said their salaries, paid in the Zimbabwean RTGS currency, doesn't cover their costs of getting to work and held intermittent strikes. The nurses and the government are not holding talks. The government has tried to paint the nurses' strike as a political tactic, but Dongo rejects that.
It's a genuine cause, and which needs a genuine negotiation, genuine discussion, not an intimidatory way of solving it, because removing those nurses from the payroll looks like a government is saying what they did is illegal. Nurses are totally incapacitated. Nurses are fearing to go to environment where it is not safe without the proper and adequate PPEs. And those are genuine issues which need to be looked at.
Dr. Norman Matara is with the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights. He says the absence of nurses is causing a crisis.
We are having a very big crisis in our hospitals at the moment. The main reason is that nurses are on strike. So this has left our hospitals with very, very minimal capacity to handle patients because you cannot admit patients when you do not have nurses. You cannot go into theater and operate on a patient when there are no nurses to eventually monitor that patient, to provide medication and drugs, and to carry on vital monitoring.
Dongo says intimidation will not work as the nurses remain resolute in their demands. He adds a good nurse is one who is motivated, financially stable, and not stressed about their daily expenses. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zvinavashe from Harare.
Education and child rights organizations in Malawi are pushing the government to reopen schools despite a surge in COVID-19 cases. Malawi closed schools indefinitely in March before the country registered its first 3 cases on April 2nd. As cases of COVID-19 has risen, the government dropped plans to open schools in July. Malawi has nearly 7,800 cases and has recorded 152 coronavirus deaths. For VOA News, Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Education activists say leaving schools closed will have dire consequences for students, especially girls. At a meeting this week with officials from Minister of Health and Minister of Gender Wednesday, representatives from World Vision International pointed out reports showing an increased number of girls have become pregnant or gotten married since the schools closed. Charles Jimombo is the Director for Operations at World Vision International in Malawi.
We also realize that when children are not in school for long, they lose out some of their content. Maybe 20 to 50% of what they already learned, they can lose over a period of 2 months break. And now we are talking about 6 months break, and we are not very sure. Maybe it could be even more, and we can't just sit down and look at all this.
The meeting came after representatives from the Independent Schools Association of Malawi met President Lazarus Chakwera a few days ago, asking him to consider reopening the schools. Chakwera said he would first consult the Presidential Task Force on COVID-19 about schools. After meeting with the activists, Health Minister Kumbize Chiponda, who co-chairs the COVID-19 Task Force, said it was too early to consider reopening the schools, citing a spike in COVID-19 cases. Minister of Gender Patricia Kariati says the government would rather employ measures to protect girls from early pregnancies and marriages than expose them to COVID-19. Kariati cited media reports showing that a number of students in parts of the United States have contracted coronavirus after schools were reopened.
We are afraid of that. If America were a developed country like that, but a number of students are being affected with COVID, and we are a developing country, we can't just open it, it's not safe. We'll be opening schools when it's safe.
Charles Dokera is the secretary for the Reopen School Movement for Students.
So far, we have been monitoring the situation in our country. We see the political light being advocated, and again, we see markets and every business is being operated just as usual, but schools are kept closed. After all, the situation of COVID itself is not as grave as it is in other countries in our country.
Education rights activists in Malawi have so far asked the government to reopen the schools for classes for students who will be sitting for final exams. They say a blanket closure of schools because of COVID-19 pandemic, which shows no sign of ending, is not a good idea. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
Still on health matters, doctors are warning that the global death toll from diseases like tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV could increase sharply this year because of disruption to health services caused by the coronavirus pandemic. One report warns that malaria deaths in Africa could double in 2020. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Sibongile Zulu is among the 7.7 million South Africans who are HIV positive. She takes a cocktail of antiretroviral drugs to suppress the virus. When South Africa imposed a coronavirus lockdown in March, Zulu lost her job. Weeks later, her local clinic began to run short of some medication.
I think for 2 months, I was using only one that I was supposed to use two. And if I don't use both of them, it's a big risk. And I can get sick.
Across the world, doctors say the coronavirus pandemic and the subsequent lockdowns will likely hamper the fight against other killer diseases like tuberculosis or TB, malaria and HIV. Epidemiologist Dr. Salim S. Abdul Karim advises the South African government on the coronavirus and has led research into other infectious diseases in Africa.
People are scared to go to healthcare services. We have seen a decline in the number of tests for tuberculosis. We've seen a decline in the number of patients coming in to get their medications. So that's of deep concern because it could undo the years of work that it has taken us to get to this point.
TB cases and deaths have fallen year on year in South Africa and many other countries, but it remains one of the world's biggest killers, with an estimated 1.5 million deaths last year. Dr. Finn McQuaid is at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
We know there's a 50% decrease in TB testing in South Africa at the moment. So people are not able to go to the clinic or go to hospitals and so on, and they're not being diagnosed with TB. And this means that they can then transmit TB further to other people. So it's just going to sort of snowball.
Malaria deaths in Africa could double in 2020, warn researchers from Imperial College London, unless disrupted services such as mosquito net distribution and malaria treatments are maintained. Despite the dire forecasts, Karim says there is opportunity.
The opportunity to look at integration. Integration between COVID, HIV, TB, and other conditions, so that when we are investing for our coronavirus vigilance, we are benefiting not just the COVID epidemic, but the epidemics of HIV and TB as well.
The global community must look at the bigger picture, says McQuaid.
We stand to lose gains that we've been making in recent years, hard-fought gains that we've made, and we could be pushed back 5, 10, 20 years even.
Huge resources have been dedicated to the fight against the coronavirus. Doctors say it's vital that other deadly diseases are not neglected. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The United States government says it will begin visa restrictions on individuals believed to be undermining Sudan's civilian-led government. In a statement released Thursday, U.S. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo said the order will affect former officials of ousted President Omar al-Bashir's administration, along with others. Pompeo said he is implementing visa restrictions on people believed to be responsible for or complicit in undermining the transitional government's efforts to implement the 2019 political agreement and constitutional declaration. Pompeo said individuals engaging in corruption or the abuse or violation of human rights in Sudan will also be denied U.S. visas. Sudanese Deputy Ambassador to the U.S. Amira Agarib called it a positive move and said that Sudan is making progress toward getting Sudan removed from the list of state sponsors of terrorism. The U.S. Department of the Treasury Office of Foreign Assets Control says Sudan remains on the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list. Authorities in Lake State say they collected over 500 guns during a disarmament exercise recently in Rumbek East County. The governor is urging local chiefs in the other seven counties of Lake State to convince civilians to also hand over their guns or face being disarmed by force. Governor Makur Kulang told hundreds of residents gathered at Rumbek Freedom Square, witnessing the event yesterday, that most of the guns turned in are from Rumbek East County. He called on civilians and chiefs in other counties across the state who have not complied with President Kiir's order to quickly hand over their weapons before it is too late. Major Pavarthi Raj, the acting UNMISS military observer in Lake State, who spoke on behalf of the UNMISS field office in Rumbek, said UNMISS is committed to supporting efforts to disarm all civilians and promote reconciliation in order to restore peace in the state. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with a traditional song from my village in Western Equatorial State. I've been listening to a traditional Baka song from Maridi. The Baka are found in Maridi and the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for making us part of your evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.